Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a number of visitors with us today. Some of you I didn't get a chance to meet yet. We're very glad that and honored that you came to worship with us today here at South Valley. We have been looking at, there's kind of been a method to what we've been looking at lately. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the gospel, the importance of the gospel. That it is the power of salvation. And last week, we looked at to get into Christ, for that gospel to benefit us. The first thing that needs to be done is we have to have heard the gospel. We have to hear it. There's a number of ways to be exposed to the gospel. So you can read it, you can study a tract, you can... most of the time, people are told the gospel. I'm reminded of in Acts 8 when Philip asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He's reading God's word. "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I unless I have somebody to help me understand it, to explain it to me?" And most of our hearing has come as a result, verbally hearing, of somebody teaching and preaching the Word of God to us. And I want us to kind of look at this path to salvation. The first thing that had to be done was hearing the Word of God. No one has ever been saved that did not hear the Word of God. But once we have heard the Word of God, we kind of come to a decision. We have to either accept it or not. Lots of people hear the truth, but it doesn't affect them. They go right on doing what they want to do, and they don't receive the Word. How many times did Jesus say, in the Gospels, "Those have ears, let him hear." Not everybody that heard the word, heard the word. It's kind of the old Foghorn Leghorn cartoon. You know, "Boy, I's pitching and you ain't a catching." A lot of people hear the word of God, but they don't receive it and it doesn't do anything for them. We have a choice. And people have a choice. We can't worry that they don't receive it. We do have to present it to them, though. We have to sow that seed. There were people that heard Jesus and rejected it. There were people that heard Paul and rejected it. We have to sow the seed. Our scripture reading that was read today, and I appreciate Jeff doing that, was taken at the end of the Gospel of John. I've always looked at this kind of, in literary terms, almost as an introduction. John is putting what you want the person to have gotten out of it. It's almost like the introduction, but at the end. He says, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Everybody that saw Jesus believed that this is Jesus. I've been introduced to him. There are people today believe in Jesus, that Jesus existed. There are some that believe that Jesus, that they say, was a good teacher, but not the Son of God. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. A lot of people believe that Jesus was just a good teacher, a good moral man. Well, if he wasn't the Son of God, if he wasn't the Savior, he'd be a liar. He wouldn't be a good man if he's a liar. These are written that you may believe that Jesus was the Christ. And by believing that, it would lead you, not just the simple believing that he was the Son of God would give you life in his name, but it would put you on the path of having life in his name. Just simple belief that he's the Son of God isn't good enough. James expounds on that idea. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Jesus confronted demons numerous times, and they acknowledged who he was. But they didn't follow him. They didn't do what was required to have that life in his name. Most of our verses, other than James, and there's another one down the way, most of the verses we're taking are from the book of John, going back to this idea that these are written to show Jesus as the Son of God. And then it leaves the hearer. You got a choice to accept it or not to accept it, to let it affect your life or not. And that's, most of us in here have been here. We do believe. We have heard the Word of God. We've accepted it, and we've done the other things that it takes to receive eternal life. Maybe these verses can help us teach somebody else. Not keep salvation just to ourselves and hoard it, but to share it with others. In John 2, verse 11, this is early in Jesus' ministry, and it says, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee." Jesus had just performed his first miracle, the turning the water to wine, in the presence of many. And it says, "And manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." It affected them. They knew Jesus by name, but that belief made them disciples, made them follow him. A little bit later in the chapter, it says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." He is standing out amongst people. He's doing things your average person just doesn't do. And because of that, the result was many believed. It changed them. It affected them. In John 4:26, well, in this passage, Jesus had been talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. And they had a fairly lengthy exchange. And in verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." They had been talking about the Messiah, the Christ that was to come. And Jesus reveals to her, "I am he." She goes and tells everybody. Talk about tying in last week, hearing. She goes and tells everybody she knew about this encounter. And later in this chapter, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, Not just that he's Jesus, but believed in him. Why? Not because they saw, because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. The importance of telling others. That's what we need to do. Somebody told us about Jesus. And just like the Samaritan, we need to tell others. In John, in the later part of John 4, Jesus healed a nobleman's son. And this miracle was interesting in many ways of how not only did he heal a son, he did it from a distance. He wasn't there touching him and doing his mumbo jumbo whatever. He just did it at his word from a distance. That's power. And it was at the same time that the nobleman had been encountering Jesus, and he inquired of the servants, when was my son made well? It was at the same moment I was addressing Jesus. And the result in this passage, he and his household believed. Not just believed that Jesus was Jesus, but that Jesus was the Son of God. John 7:31, it says, and many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? People were acknowledging, this guy is different. The things he does, there's no excusing it off. The miracles he's making, the signs he's doing, there's no explaining these. And as a result of that, and that's what the end of John says, but these things were recorded that you may believe that he was the Son of God. In John chapter 9, he heals a blind man. A man that had been kind of talking about, you know, a unique situation. He healed a blind man that had been born blind. Now, an adult man that's never seen. And he heals him in a very unconventional way. He didn't write him out a prescription, take this for 3.5 weeks. And he spit on the ground and mixed some dirt together and put it on his eyes. And he healed the man. There again, he created the dirt. Maybe when he was there at the creation, maybe he made that dirt special. I don't know. But he did it with spit and dirt in the presence of others. And it says, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. As a result of this, people were taking note. The things he said had a little bit different ring to it. When this man that heals a nobleman's son from a distance, this man that can turn water to wine, this man that can make a man that was born blind have vision. Wow. In John 11, after the death, and here's one for you, him raising Lazarus from the dead. And many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. This is not run-of-the-mill, just another Tuesday. He raised somebody from the dead. And the result was they believed in him. Brings us back to our first scripture. Or to the chapter. The end of John says, after 8 days, after Jesus had been resurrected. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. And Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. I want to pause just, I don't want to make light of the scripture. I'm not making the scriptures comical. I'm glad I could read about this instead of being there. If I was in a room shut up tight, you're scared that others might come after you, you've shut the door, you know it's secured and stuff, and all of a sudden you look and there's Jesus says, peace to you. I would have went through the ceiling. I would have been scared. Stacy would have run out of her skin. Just all of a sudden, peace to you. Just, where did you come from? We shut that door. That's how Jesus made his entrance. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Remember when the other apostles had told Thomas, we've seen Jesus. Jesus has been resurrected. Thomas was, when I see it myself, I'm not going to go on hearsay. I'm not going to go on gossip. I want to see it myself. And the next week, when Thomas was, it's a good verse to encourage you to show up on Sunday nights. Thomas would have been there the week before. He'd have seen it. But that's another whole nother lesson. But he says, reach here. Jesus knew Thomas's skepticism. And he needed the proof. Give me your hand. Put it in my side. And he says, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He got it. He believed. And he goes on to say, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's the people a generation later. That's the people in the 1700s. That's us. We didn't get the opportunity to see Jesus live in the flesh. But if we believe that the Bible is God's word, and we do, these things were written that you may believe. And if we don't believe that the Bible is God's word, we need to back up a little bit and retrace those steps. But we believe that the Bible is God's word. And these were written that we may believe. And somebody told us about the gospel, about Jesus, and we believed, and hopefully we can tell others. The scripture we started with, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It's not just a mental acknowledgement. It's a life-changing belief. A belief that evidence of your works show your belief. David Phillips, earlier this month when he was out here, used a scripture in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. If the Lord is God, follow Him. When we've heard the Word of God, we have that choice to follow or not. And if we believe that the Lord is God, our actions need to show that belief. Not just be like the demons and believe and tremble, but believe that leads to salvation. Leave with two questions. Do you believe? And if not, why not? God has given plenty of evidence that His Son was sent to earth, was seen by people, was recorded by people, and gave us a path to salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism because you believe, we can accommodate you. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life, if you need prayers of the church, whatever your need, please come forward while we stand and sing.